Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Religious Accommodation Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 25th, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Equal Opportunity Employment Commission v. Abercrombie & Fitch Stores. This case asked whether knowledge of a required Title VII religious accommodation and an applicant or employee's clear notice of their religious observance or practice to their prospective or current employer is required for an employer to be held liable for violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 for choosing not to hire an applicant or dismissing an employee because of said religious observance or practice. To discuss the case, we have Rachel Pollos, who is a former Senate-confirmed United States Attorney. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Pollos.
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission versus Abercrombie & Fitch Stores, docket number 1486, on which the Supreme Court heard oral argument February 25, 2014, is a case arising from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit. This case involves the interpretation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The question before the court is whether the statute and accompanying regulations require an employer to be held liable for discrimination based on a religious observance and practice if the employer fails to hire an applicant or terminates an employee only if the applicant or employee provides direct and explicit notice to the employer of the need for a religious accommodation. This case involves the application of a workplace dress code to employees who may have a religious objection to a part of the dress code. Abercrombie & Fitch Stores have a look policy requiring employees in their department stores to dress in a style consistent with the Abercrombie brand. The look policy specifically bans caps and black attire. Employees who violate the policy may be disciplined or fired. 17-year-old Samantha Eliwoff was unaware of the look policy when she applied to work as a salesperson at an Abercrombie kids store in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Eliwoff, who describes herself as a practicing Muslim, wore a black headscarf to her interview on June 26, 2008 with assistant store manager Heather Cook. Eliwoff did not tell Cook or anyone else at Abercrombie that she wears her hijab as an expression of her faith. Cook never asked Eliwoff about her headscarf or religious practices. Cook generally described Abercrombie's look policy without specifically stating that Abercrombie banned black clothing and headgear. Nevertheless, Cook assumed Eliwoff wore a headscarf for religious reasons because she was Muslim. Cook considered Eliwoff otherwise qualified for the job and initially recommended that Abercrombie hire Eliwoff. However, Cook consulted with more senior management who told her not to hire Eliwoff because Eliwoff wore a black hijab in violation of Abercrombie's look policy. Cook never communicated her decision to Eliwoff. A friend of Eliwoff's who worked with Cook told Eliwoff that Cook declined to hire Eliwoff because Eliwoff wore a hijab. In at least eight other circumstances nationwide, Abercrombie has granted exceptions to its look policy and permitted employees to wear hijabs. Still, Abercrombie executives asserted they believed that granting exceptions to the look policy negatively impacted Abercrombie's unique brand. On behalf of Eliwoff, the EEOC filed a complaint alleging religious discrimination against Abercrombie on September 17, 2009, in the Northern District of Oklahoma. On July 1, 2011, the district court granted summary judgment for the EEOC. The district court found that the EEOC had established a prima facie violation of Title VII. The district court found that Eliwoff wore a hijab based on her religious beliefs, Eliwoff's religious beliefs conflicted with Abercrombie's prohibition on headwear, Abercrombie had noticed that Eliwoff wore her hijab as a religious practice, though not directly from Eliwoff, and Abercrombie refused to hire Eliwoff because Eliwoff's religious practice conflicted with Abercrombie's look policy. A jury sitting for the limited purpose of determining damages awarded Eliwoff $20,000 in compensatory damages. Abercrombie appealed to the Federal Appellate Court. On October 1, 2013, a divided panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit reversed the district court and granted Abercrombie summary judgment. Judge Ebell dissented in part. Critically, the Tenth Circuit held that while Abercrombie's agent made an assumption about Eliwoff's religious practice, that assumption was not based on actual notice Eliwoff herself should have provided that she wore her headscarf or hijab for religious reasons and that she needed an accommodation for that practice due to a conflict between the practice and Abercrombie's clothing policy. The Tenth Circuit's strict actual notice requirement created a circuit split. The Seventh, Eighth, Ninth, and Eleventh Circuit all impose liability if an employer possesses mere constructive knowledge. The EEOC filed a petition for certiorari on July 25, 2014, which the Supreme Court granted on October 2, 2014. The government urges the court to reverse the judgment of the Tenth Circuit because Title VII prohibits employers from hiring discrimination whenever the employer declines to hire an applicant based on what the employer correctly perceives to be an applicant's religious practice, unless accommodating the religious practice would pose an undue hardship to the employer. According to the government, Abercrombie intentionally discriminated against Elowoff when its managers correctly perceived Elowoff wore a hijab as a part of her religious faith and refused to hire her because of that religious expression. Abercrombie denies that it engaged in intentional discrimination. Abercrombie argues that generally applicable policies that incidentally burden religion are not a violation of Title VII. Abercrombie asserts it enforced a religion-neutral employment policy against Elowoff after its agent correctly assumed Elowoff would not comply with the look policy based on her religious beliefs. Abercrombie asserts it bans any type of headwear without regard to religious significance, and thus it possessed no intent to discriminate against Elowoff as a Muslim wearing a hijab. Abercrombie asserts Elowoff seeks preferential treatment rather than equal treatment. The government further argues that Title VII does not hold Elowoff to a rigid notice requirement for a religious accommodation claim. The government claims the Tenth Circuit standard enables employers to discriminate where the employer receives knowledge of a potential conflict from other sources, such as hearsay, inferences, or observation of employee acts or attire. The government argues such a result would undermine the heart of Title VII. Citing the plain language of the EEOC's own regulations, Abercrombie insists applicants or employees must ask for an accommodation. Abercrombie cites the EEOC's compliance manual, which states, quote, "An applicant or employee who seeks religious accommodation must make the employer aware both of the need for accommodation and that it is being requested due to a conflict between religion and work. The employee is obligated to explain the religious nature of the belief or practice at issue and cannot assume that the employer will already know or understand it," end quote. The government urges the court to encourage an interactive dialogue between employer and employee to negotiate differences. The government argues the Tenth Circuit's ruling incentivizes employer circumvention of the law by claiming lack of actual knowledge based on explicit notice from an employee who may or may not be aware of a looming conflict. This lack of employer incentive to pursue a dialogue may be particularly problematic for religious communities with particularly distinctive religious attire or other displays of faith. Relying again upon EEOC guidance and regulations, Abercrombie asserts any attempt to place the burden of initiating a dialogue on the employer is a reversal of longstanding EEOC policy and should be rejected as unprecedented. The government further contends that because employers will more frequently have an informational advantage, they should be burdened with the responsibility to initiate an interactive dialogue. The government suggests that while employees or applicants have superior knowledge of religious practices, employers have superior knowledge of their own workplace rules. In certain situations, however, the employer will first identify religious conflicts based on its own perceptions, inferences, or hearsay information about applicants. The government asserts that is precisely what happened here when Abercrombie identified a conflict between its look policy and Elowoff's religious practice and acted on that perceived conflict instead of considering an accommodation for Elowoff. By contrast, Abercrombie insists employees are better suited to raise a potential religious conflict. Abercrombie agrees that employees will always have complete knowledge of their own religious practices, while employers will always have complete knowledge of their workplace policies. However, employees will sometimes know of possible workplace policies, while Abercrombie argues employers will never independently and definitively know of employees' religious practices absent a direct statement from the employee. Any other source of knowledge is unreliable and only encourages the stereotyping Title VII prohibits, Abercrombie argues. Thus, in most cases, Abercrombie argues it will be the employee or applicant who possesses superior knowledge. In this case, Abercrombie argues it was Eliwolf who had superior knowledge. Before her interview, Eliwolf's friend told her Abercrombie relied on a dress code. During the interview, Cook generally described the look policy. Shortly after the interview, Eliwolf's friend told her she was not hired because of her noncompliance with Abercrombie's dress code. In this situation, therefore, Abercrombie insists the burden to begin a dialogue should have been Eliwolf's. At oral argument, the justices frequently protested that the advocates made confusing and complicated arguments. The deputy solicitor general arguing the case on behalf of the government became bogged down in hypotheticals testing the limits of his argument. Justices questioned the government on the degree of certainty an employer needed to possess regarding a possible suspicion about an applicant's religious practices. Several justices also expressed concern regarding the lack of a clear standard as to what precisely the government requested, what circumstances would trigger use of the standard, and the government's theory of discrimination. Abercrombie's appellate attorney, Shay Dovoretsky, repeatedly returned to the theme of the legal and practical shortcomings of the EEOC's suggestion for an interactive dialogue. Still, justices repeatedly challenged Abercrombie on the facts of the case, which at least two justices suggested proved Abercrombie intentionally discriminated against Eliwolf. The chief justice also questioned whether Abercrombie failed to accommodate Eliwolf precisely because Abercrombie inflexibly administered a general rule. By the end of the argument, at least four of the justices seemed to have coalesced around a rule which would require employers to state their workplace requirements and ask applicants or employees whether or not they could comply, thus initiating an interactive dialogue. The decision in this case will be significant to employers and employees alike. At least in part, this case is a reflection of a headlong rush to the courthouse door when dialogue between the parties might have resulted in an accommodation for Eliwolf. In this case, both parties became aware at some point prior to litigation that Eliwolf's religious practice in wearing a black hijab conflicted with Abercrombie's look policy. Nevertheless, neither party, or even the EEOC, initiated an interactive dialogue designed to reach a middle ground. Moreover, Abercrombie's decision to take this particular case to the Supreme Court is puzzling in light of an unsympathetic factual record. While Abercrombie may claim it applied a religion-neutral employment policy, undisputed facts show the following. Abercrombie assumed Eliwolf was a Muslim. Abercrombie assumed Eliwolf wore a headscarf for religious reasons. Abercrombie never gave Eliwolf detailed notice of its look policy prohibiting black clothing and head coverings. Abercrombie thought Eliwolf was otherwise qualified to work as a sales associate, but Abercrombie nevertheless refused to hire Eliwolf precisely because she was a hijab-wearing Muslim. Simultaneously, Abercrombie has granted religious accommodations to its look policy to other applicants and employees, including other hijab-wearing Muslims. Even if the court decides this case based on a strict interpretation of a federal regulation interpreting Title VII, Abercrombie may win a Pyrrhic victory.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.